BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts.
Hello. Now, my job's been made easier today. My guests have all introduced themselves.
Hello, my name is Sydney, with a Y in the middle, like the city. If you need help remembering it, please just think of me as No Eyes by Name, No Eyes by Nature.
My name's Jake, I'm from Newcastle. The thing you need to know about me is that I'm a disabled man, I'm partially blind, or partially sighted, depending on your outlook on life. So I'm partially blind. My glasses are always half empty.
All the way to the stage, Lizzie Lenko.
I am not advocating for the use of recreational drugs. So now when people ask me, what's your eyesight like? I can quite confidently say, LSD. They gave me a white stick to stop me tripping. I had to go blind to tell that joke.
So just in case you're in any doubt, Sydney May, Jake Donaldson and Lizzie Lenko have all got dodgy eyes, to one extent or another anyway, and they're all stand-up comedians and they embrace telling jokes about their disabilities, amongst other things. And that's what we wanted to discuss with you all today, the phenomenon of an increasing number of visually impaired comedians and the positives and the pitfalls of joking about blindness. First of all, I'll continue to be lazy today. Could we just get some mini biographies from you all? You know, who you are, how you got into comedy and why. Sydney, let me start with you.
Yeah, hello. I'm Sydney. I'm based down in Brighton. I got into comedy really just kind of for fun. I joined a course with a friend in 2020, just before lockdown happened, and then lockdown happened, so we never finished the course. And then I got back into it just at the end of 2023. Had a great time on an ultra comedy course, raising money for charity. So I kept saying then, if people stop laughing, I'll stop doing it. But they're still laughing, so I'm still here.
So you're another thing we can blame lockdown for, are you?
Yeah, pretty much. Sorry about that.
let me go to Jake. Jake Donaldson, how did you get into this?
Yeah, so I started stand-up for the first time when I was at university over sort of 10 years ago. And I was just a big fan of comedy growing up. So just always wanted to do it. I just did it for fun for a while. And then after the pandemic, again, I was influenced by the pandemic as well. And it sort of gave me the kick up the bum to sort of try and do it properly. And then now I get paid for it and it's my job and it's very exciting.
Great. And Lizzie, what about you? I mean, you had a serious car accident, which kind of had an effect on you getting into it, didn't it, really?
Yeah, I mean, weirdly, my background, I'm an archaeologist working culture and heritage policy. And I just started doing comedy just for something less boring than being a policy analyst. And when I was in quite a serious car crash, the head injury has affected my sight. And so comedy became a massive part of my recovery strategy.
Right. Well, we'll analyse this a bit. And this is a question for all of you. Would you, could you ever go on stage without reference to your eyesight or the lack of it? I'm going to start with you, Sydney, because in the gig from which we took a clip at the top of the programme, you started your act by facing in the wrong direction.
Look at you all. Right, have you had long enough to look at my arse now? Can I turn round? Is that okay?
Do you always do that?
So I did that when I first started, and I hated it. It made me cringe.
Who told you
thinking,
to do it?
Come on. Some of the people I was on the course with, they were like, do you know what would be really funny? I found it so cringy and so cheesy because I was like, oh, come on, guys. I would never make that mistake. Give me some credit. But it just goes down so well. And I did it when I first started gigging, and then I dropped it. And then everyone was like, come on, bring it back, bring it back. Oh, and so that gig that video's from, that was the performance where I won the Comedia Award, and I brought it back for that. And it works. And now I feel like I can't take it out again.
Jake, am I right in thinking you could get away without referring to your partial blindness, couldn't you? I mean, Yeah. And do you ever do that?
Yeah, so I am partially sighted is how I describe it, really. And so I can sort of pass for having enough vision to get around sometimes, depending on the lighting in the room and things like that. And if I'm going onto a stage, I've checked where the front of the stage is at first before I go on stage normally with my cane. So like for a long time, I didn't really talk about it because I was uncomfortable discussing my disability on stage. And I've lost my sight over a period of time and sort of for a long time didn't want to admit that I was disabled. I felt some sort of shame to do with that because my dad is disabled as well, and he had a brain hemorrhage in his early 20s, and I saw sort of how he behaved and how people treated him, and I didn't want to believe that that was what my life was going to be like, so I didn't talk about it on stage for a really long time.
So what made you change your mind about that?
I started talking about it after I started going to the hospital for some more tests to do with my eyes, and some funny things happened at the hospital, and I started telling the stories about them on stage, and then also when I started having to use a cane and stuff like that, it became obvious that I had to mention it, and so then I decided to write a whole show about it, and I wrote a whole Edinburgh Fringe show all about my sight loss journey, and I performed that at the festival, and it did really well, and people really seemed to like it, and other visually impaired people came to see it, which was brilliant. But I don't always talk about it on stage, and it's not necessarily the only thing I talk about on stage either.
I thought I'd heard most blind jokes, but I hadn't heard the glass half empty joke. I do like that. Lizzie, you began comedy mainly after your accident. I think you've done a bit before, as you explained to us. What was it about disability? Was it always going to be your main theme after the accident?
Yeah, I mean, I can't avoid it because it's sort of the elephant in the room. When I do get out of my chair and get onto the stage, it takes me a while. And at first, when I first started doing the comedy, I was still wobbly. I'm often performing longer than 10 minutes. I stay in my wheelchair. So people are looking at it. They can see it. If you don't reference it, they're not listening to you. So I discovered that get the joke about the white stick out up front, or get the joke about the wheelchair out up front. Then we can move on. I have genuinely had people think the white stick's a prop, though.
Yeah, I've had that as well, Lizzie. It's ridiculous, isn't it?
The guy took it off me. This was at Cheltenham at the races. He took the stick off me and said, "You're not really blind. How many fingers are you old enough?" And I'm like, "Mate, if you can't count your own fingers, you've no business betting on the horses."
So I'll stay with you, Lizzie, for this, but it will come to all of you. Are there rules about the way you approach blindness jokes or disability jokes? But I mean, we are in touch, so let's stick to blindness. Are there themes you wouldn't touch, for instance?
I suppose my benchmark is it happened to me. I once had the privilege of meeting Chris Morris, and I asked him, "How dark can I go with this?" And he said, "If it's real life and it's your experience, then you talk about it. But what I won't do is kind of try and talk on behalf of anyone else in my comedy. I write very much from my own experience. A lot of my comedy comes from the reactions of other people to me. And I think that's why it resonates so well with other people with disabilities. They've had those experiences too.
So, Sydney, who can tell a blind joke then? I mean, is it a truism that sighted people shouldn't tell blind jokes?
It's got to be carefully done, I think. You know, I wouldn't make jokes about wheelchair users because I'm not one. I think stick to your own experience, your own disability. And I think sighted people can make jokes about blind people.
And they do, of course.
They do, and that's fine. And I guess it's about how it's done. Something you say in comedy is about never punching down. And I think that's a good...
I was in a pub once, and a guy came in who I think had seen me around. He came up to me and he said, "Have you heard about the blind man who bled to death trying to read his cheese grater?" And I thought that was funny. I wasn't offended. It's a good joke.
It is.
It's not a brilliant joke, but, you know. Jake, you haven't had a say on this. I mean, what's your take on it?
Well, I sort of agree. I think most visually impaired comedians would kind of agree that. I think if the sighted person is making a joke about blindness, and it's about blindness as a phenomenon rather than about blind people, potentially maybe that's okay. But if it's punching down at people, making fun of the fact that they are disabled, that doesn't sit right with me. I've had compares bring me onto the stage by doing jokes about my eyesight before I've even had a chance to go on stage and explain that I'm visually impaired. So that sort of bothers me a bit more.
How worried are you, talking there about whether you take offence, how worried are you about offending people? I mean, we could be offending people now. And it is a fact that when we get mail on In Touch about certain programmes causing offence about the way in which we've dealt with blindness, it's usually not from blind people, but from sighted people feeling indignant on our behalf. Now, I'm inclined to resist that. Sydney, you was that a grunt of agreement? Or
Yeah, I think you're right. I think I'm sure people who get offended will probably be sighted people rather than blind people. I think for me, it's just so important to be able to have humour. And this is how I was brought up, and I'm very grateful to my family who, you know, took the relentless mick out of me throughout my whole childhood. And I was taught to laugh at it because that is so much better than being bitter or angry or upset by the fact that you have this disability. Funny things happen. It's not like I'm doing comedy to teach people a lesson, but if it also happens to teach people a bit of a lesson of, please laugh, it is okay to laugh, I'm okay with it. You know, if I'm telling you the jokes, I'm all right with you laughing. But I think sighted, particularly family members, can be... I made a joke last year about the ridiculousness of having an eye infection when you've got prosthetic eyes. And my dad didn't like it. He didn't like the fact that I had the surgery and had the eyes removed, and that was kind of removing the last vestige of hope of anything getting better.
Yeah. Right.
That's his issue.
So being offended on your behalf, as we were saying. Lizzie, you deal with, because of what happened to you, a number of disabilities. So does that make it harder to be sure, you know, what's going to offend who?
Yeah, I mean, I tread a very fine line with my comedy, remembering that people are having a night out. Sometimes I have to remember not to be too graphic. And I think one of my biggest challenges is how I got this way and how you tell that story. So I have a line about parking my car upside down. And that pretty much does the job. I have had feedback where people have said it can be a little bit difficult to laugh because what they're thinking is, oh my God, what has she been through? I think it's the same for anyone making jokes about a disability, is just how much you reveal whilst also remembering this is entertainment. You've still got to make people laugh. They've still got to have a good time.
Why do you think, all of you, why do you think there seems to be a bit of a wave of visually impaired comedians? I mean, it used to...
I blame McCausland.
Well, I was just going to say, it used to be Chris McCausland and Chris McCausland, and, you know, you get the point. What's going on, Jake?
I went to the hospital about a year ago or so to see my doctor, and then I went in to see my ECLO, who's been really great.
They're eye care liaison officers, if anyone doesn't know. Yeah. Okay.
Yes. And my ECLO sort of asked me what I did for a living, and I said, oh, I was a comedian. And he went, oh, it must be really hard to find opportunities as a visually impaired comedian. And then 2 seconds later, he handed me a brochure for some magnifiers, and it had a picture of Chris McCausland on the front of it. So, I think him winning Strictly has been a big sort of boon to the visually impaired community, although also it part of me does feel like, you know, we've been using not being able to see very well as an excuse for being rubbish at stuff for ages. And what am I supposed to do now? Chris, try my actual best. All right, mate.
Part of me is like, we can't top that now, can we?
It's tricky.
I should say I love Chris. I think he's brilliant.
He's been great on this programme, and he'd understand this conversation. That's the thing.
Yeah.
He would absolutely understand it. any other reasons do you think, Sydney or Lizzie, about why there are so many now? Because I'm sure you didn't do it, any of you, with Chris as an inspiration.
I think the thing is, it's funny. And this is the thing you realise. For me, you know, it was literally, I left my house at 6 o'clock on a Sunday evening. By 8 o'clock, I was in intensive care. And then you've got to deal with this completely new world. But the actual process of being, believe it or not, in a trauma centre, my entire show, Full Frontal Lobe, was about that experience. And it's hilarious. The medical profession is hilarious. I do a whole section of audience work asking people about their bowels. Because they do. That's the first thing you get asked. Like, you ever watch telly, somebody coming out of coma? It's not like Kill Bill. It's literally somebody saying to you, have you opened your bowels today? I'm like, oh, I've just woken up. Hang on. And I think one of the reasons maybe that you're seeing more and more of that kind of comedy, is that also it's incredibly relatable, believe it or not, because most people have been through something a bit scary, and that's what they're tapping into. Not the scary thing, but that you came out the other side able to laugh and joke about it. I think that's why it's become more popular.
Well, you're going to hate me for this, but I mean, have you got a favourite blind joke that you tell? Jake, I do like the glasses half full, as I said, but is there a joke that you particularly like?
I mean, that's my opening line that I do on stage now, because I think it sort of, it gets it out of the way quite quickly, but it's also it tells you what I'm going to be like. I'm going to be doing sort of slightly kind of offbeat, maybe what other people call clever jokes sometimes, and like wordplay type stuff. And so I really like that kind of thing. The rest of my material is quite long-winded and storytelling-ish, so I'm trying to think of something that
they're
I've got.
They're tricky, aren't they? You can't. Yes. While you're thinking, what about you, Sydney? Have you got a favourite one that perhaps we haven't heard?
Well, I'm very similar. I do a couple of little opening puns, and then I am more of a storyteller. But my opening line when I introduced myself, just after where you stopped the last video, the No Eyes by Name, No Eyes by Nature, is I'm against paninis on principle because I refuse to eat something with more eyes than me. The other one that I came up with really last minute just popped into my head before my first gig. And now, I don't know if it's my favourite, but it's the one that gets the biggest laugh. That was, people are usually really helpful to me when they realise I can't see. But I do find myself in a constant state of disappointment when I say I need a little bit of help looking for the ladies and all I get is a toilet.
And Lizzie, favourite one maybe?
I think my favourite bit is the bit where I do my set about people's reactions to the white stick. And it's a true story that I was on Manchester Station and a woman fell over my white stick. And while she was shouting at me, I offered it to her.
Right. Well, that is going to need a lot of living up to. I'm going to throw my hat into the ring here because I have one of my own. Here we go. Things are very different, actually, for us blind people now, because all our machines talk to us. My daughter came home the other night, a bit the worse for wear, tries to be quiet. Woof! Walks into the microwave. It's 3:15. And then they all start. Microwave follows up with, what do you call this time of night? You've got a talking measuring jug, and it says, now it's the third time this week she's been out. The other night she tried to fill me up with vodka. I was forced into playing that by my producer because actually it was for comic relief. They pitted presenters against each other. And I won, of course, because you can't go wrong with a blind joke.
Yeah. It's very good. Well done.
Well, thank you,
Jack. Really good.
I might take it up, but don't worry. I'm not coming for your jobs. That is it for today. We'd love to hear listeners' reactions and comments. Email intouch@bbc.co.uk. Leave voice messages on 0161 836 13338. And we'd welcome your favourite blind joke or your reasons for never telling them. From me, Peter White, producer Beth Hemmings, and from Sydney, Jake and Lizzie, thanks again. Goodbye.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Cheers.